Chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 22. And
glory to God forever and ever. Jesus is alive. Wonderful Jesus, we give you this time. Reveal yourself to us. Amen, amen. Father God, we're so grateful for everything. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are God. You are Jesus unlimited. Amen. And we welcome you here. That portion of scripture from Revelation, book of Revelation, That's John, of course, had a vision. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So he was in the Spirit, saw this glorious vision. That chapter, the last two chapters especially, of Revelation, it's so glorious, it's beyond words. That same Holy Spirit, the glory of God, is what's available to us today. Okay, what I'm about to describe is really cannot be put into human words. It's beyond human words. And the Lord Himself, the only true God, who has revealed Himself as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He and His glory is beyond human words, cannot be described. Beyond our understanding in the natural, you might say. And He's available to us today. That the same. And so this portion, again, specifically with this vision of the New Jerusalem, the Holy City coming down, you know, it's so wonderful. I mean, the city's made of gold, and it's the Holy Jerusalem. These are just some highlights from chapter 21. The great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. All of this is God's. Again, it's hard to. It's really unexplainable, but to try to explain it, God has made heaven from His glory. Angels are made of His glory. They carry His glory with them. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. That's the treasure that those who are saved have. And so if we, you know, that's the answer. In these recent messages, I've been saying, you know, what's the answer? It's the Lord Himself, the glory of the Lord. That's what will set us free. That's what will cause us to walk with Him. We will know Him and walk with Him. We will want to do all the things that He wants us to do. That's the glory of that's the Lord Jesus Himself in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, I know we have challenges. The Lord can deliver us from those. He can heal us. He can set us free, and it's through His glory how that happens. If anybody wonders, how do we get it? Well, the two commandments: love the Lord your God with all you have, and your neighbor as yourself. We need to be in right standing with all people. That's an absolute key. Now, I don't know about you, but when I deal with people, there are certain challenges. Some people may deny that and say, oh, I get along great with all people and never had any challenges. Well, don't know if they're really being honest there, because, if we've dealt with a person, people are, you know, bless their hearts, we're all sinners saved by grace. Or if an unsaved person, they need to come to Jesus. Absolutely. Okay. But my point is, it's one of the big challenges is dealing with people, and we need to we must forgive, be in good standing. That's going to block us from receiving this treasure. Let's go to the first commandment. How do we find Him? Seek Him with all our heart. You shall seek me, you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Famous scripture from Jeremiah. And Jesus said something very powerful when He said, And now everything Jesus said is powerful and is life-giving and truth. And but he said, with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And so that's such a supernatural truth. We can safely say that what we give of ourselves to God is what he gives to us. If we give him all of ourselves, he gives us all of himself. Amen. If someone just gives a little portion of themselves to him, they receive Jesus Christ, they're born again, amen. Well, and but they're not giving their all, possibly. Well, let me just put it simply. If someone gives a small portion of themselves to God, he does the same thing to them. If someone says no to him, well, they don't receive anything from God. And here's the tragedy. I do want to share this. I want this, all these messages to be positive. Absolutely. We're facing challenges in our world today and in our personal lives. And Jesus is the answer. Amen. But I'd also need to say and proclaim the other side of those who say no to Jesus Christ. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Their eternity, their eternal destiny depends on it. And if they say no, and I'll say it boldly, I'm just saying what Jesus said. If someone's name is not in, he said they will spend eternity in the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not just separation from God. It's not just, many people say, oh, well, someone in hell will just be doing what they did on the earth. If they were an alcoholic, they'll be an alcoholic in hell. If they were so-and-so, they'll do the same thing in hell. Well, Jesus said it's the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He said, called it a furnace of fire. He said, where the worm doesn't die and the fire is not quenched. And then in Revelation, we learn that hell is thrown into the lake of fire. This is serious. It's so serious. I mean, and so now, back to the positives. Jesus, available to every person, and he is the most wonderful, most beautiful, glorious being in the universe. To think that the one who, the only true God, has revealed himself as Jesus Christ. You understand? Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. He's the brightness of his glory. He's the exact representation of God's nature. Glory to God. The Father God, too big and powerful, too awesome, too glorious to come down to deal with humans. No man can look upon him and live. And so he set up the perfect plan. Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And so this treasure, so glorious. Remember, anyone who has not been born of the Holy Spirit will not understand the glory of God and anything related to it will just go right over their head. Boom. And that they won't even understand it. They won't receive it. And these are, I'm even speaking about believers in the born-again phase. I mean, there are, entire, like, and to think that most believers, it's safe to say that 70 to 80% or more of believers are just in the born-again phase, okay? They don't understand the glory of God. You can even go to a church that's non-denominational, that's quote-unquote spirit-filled, We should always pray for all these churches and yes, look at the positives. But again, the bottom line of what I'm saying is it's very few people get into every subsequent phase of knowing God. There's four phases. And so the few get saved. It's a minority of people in the world will be saved. That's what Jesus said. And I'm so surprised that people don't talk about this. Jesus talked about the few three times. Three times. And even yesterday, I spoke to someone briefly, and they pretty much disagreed. I pointed out the passage, and they pretty much, people just don't see it. They don't, it's a harsh reality, is what I'm saying. And in the same way, from that first phase, few move into the second phase, which is born of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Very few move into the third phase, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Now, I know I've been mentioned this in several messages. Anything Jesus spoke about, we should mention over and over and over again and proclaim it and meditate on it and study it and look at, just glory to God. Everything he said. Okay? And what I'm saying also about, let me add this, in Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Baxter, Jesus specifically told her, sad to say, most people will not repent before it's too late and they will go to hell. He said that right there. How can anyone deny this? My point is, we need to proclaim the gospel. I'm looking at myself. I have dropped the ball at times in the past. And, we need to seek the Lord, get the glory of the Lord and the anointing, and proclaim the gospel. Amen. And just the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, will take care of any results. Amen. Please help our ministry. Please pray for our ministry. We've published more than 40 Christian books. We've got the podcast. We've got websites and various things. Please pray for us. Let's always be praying for for other ministries, for our cities and regions and nations. Why do I go back to the few? Numerous reasons that I'm saying that. Okay? The first one is we need to do what we can to get the gospel to the unsaved so that people can get saved. How will they hear with famous scripture? How will they know unless someone tells them? Now, in one sense, every person, God has made himself clear and apparent and obvious to every person, even those who never hear the gospel. But on the other hand, if we have this treasure and don't tell people, well, that's a serious thing on us. Very serious. Jesus told Mary Baxter, there's greater punishment for those who refuse to obey the call of God. That's in the Bible too. He spoke about the man who knew his master's will and the one who did know his will. This is serious. Okay, so the first reason that I keep going back to the few is so that people can get saved. Most people are not saved. Most people, so let's do what we can to get the gospel to them. Second reason, most believers don't catch the spirit, you might say. That's what they say, the spirit is caught. They don't get born of the Holy Spirit. They don't. And so they are missing out fully in their own personal life and in ministry. That's how we do ministry. That's how anything is the only way things are accomplished. in ministry is through the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the glory of God. When He's involved, amen, glorious things happen. Amen. And so, my background is I grew up in the church. I've worked for a ministry that was more of evangelical ministry. You know, let's look at the big picture. So many Christians they're trying. That's great. That's important. You know, we just need, let's try, let's occupy. But they are not born of the Spirit. They haven't discovered the glory of God. And so, anything that someone does in the flesh, in their old nature, is really rejected. But the glory of God, when we find Him, amen, that's when the wonderful things happen. And again, that's when we move into the eternal celebration, this glorious celebration that God has offered for eternity to someone. That's to be, and the greatest, and I'll try to finish with this, the greatest celebration, Him and His glory, the Lord God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the celebration. In heaven, people will be in His presence and glory forever, and those who are in heaven are in that now, and they're just celebrating the great and awesome God who's given His Son to the world. And how wonderful He is. And they're worshiping and they're serving other people and helping. They say in heaven people are just wanting to help people. You know, help, you know, how can I, you know, they're worshiping the Lord in worship services. They are continuing the ministry that God wants them to do. You know, again, they're going out on, that's a whole different subject. People who have been to heaven say it's just awesome. The main thing is heaven is filled with the presence of Jesus, the presence of God. And, you know, this portion in Revelation gives a glimpse of it. People greatly enjoy that the scenery is beautiful. You know, fields and mountains and green grass and flowers and animals, and it's just, you know, the all five senses are in full force in heaven. Remember in Revelation it talks about the tree of life by the river that whose leaves are for healing of the nations. And there's people in heaven talk about eating this delicious fruit from these trees that's like copper colored fruit, that they eat this delicious fruit and it like it's just incredible. The river of life, the streets are gold, the mansion, you know, people live in mansions, and then they even have one man's experience in heaven said that people even had another home in another part of heaven that they would go to. So you see how this is just such an eternal celebration, and we can experience Him today. Amen.